that video reminds me that it's a reality. The people that you will be mentoring and discipling, maybe you're already doing it, you already probably are without even realizing it, but the people that you will be intentionally discipling are probably already in your lives. And all it really requires is a prayer of awareness, amen, that Lord, help me be aware of the people who are already pressing into me so that I can press back into them the seeds of the gospel, amen. And it can be as simple as, you know, joining them on, you know, for a one-on-one basketball time out, you know, after supper for 15 minutes as the relationship continues to grow, or, you know, the Lord's just going to lead. And by fall, just want to encourage you to have that person and say yes to God and just let the Lord lead that relationship so that you are beginning to meet regularly and you're taking them through the core values of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to twist anybody's arm. They're going to want you to do this. In fact, they're already pressing into you because they feel like you're someone who is capable of doing that in their lives. So it's not hard. It's a matter of being real, like the video said, and growing in relationship with the people around us and being aware that they're ready to hear from us in regards to things of the gospel. Well, next Sunday night, excited, you have two options really to choose from next Sunday night. And that is number one at the pool party over at Dan and Shelley's. That's going to be a good time. Jeanette and I will be at Lost Lake. We're going to have missionaries from Papua New Guinea. And our district missions president asked if we would like to host along with Lost Lake out there on next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. We'll be having a potluck. And so if that sounds like something you would like to participate in, want you to know we'd love to have you a part of that. And Dan and Shelley's be a good time too. Dan and Shelley's will particularly be a good time to invite newcomers to the church, because that's really going to be a relationship building time. So maybe if be somebody that hasn't even attended yet, but you'd like to begin to invite them to get to know some folks in the church, that's a prime time to do that. But we also want to support our missionaries in the work, and so that's an option for you as well to join in to that momentum there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. This is a difficult text. Got to tell you, if I had my druthers, I'd probably rather avoid this one. But I couldn't avoid it because we're in a series, and that's why I let the Lord press me into doing a sermon series, because I can't avoid some tough material. Let's turn there, Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. Let me just tell you ahead of time, some of what you're going to hear this morning doesn't fit into your typical theologically correct nicety, nice Jesus. In fact, you may struggle a little bit with Jesus' attitude. You may struggle a little bit with his actions. And I want you to know that I may not be able to put it all back in the box for you when you leave here today. You may leave here today more unresolved than you've been for a while, and that's okay. Everybody okay with that? We're just going to let Jesus be Jesus. I'm not going to try to put him in a box. I'm not going to smooth it over. I'm not going to try to make him something that he's not. I'm just going to let him speak, okay? And I think that's what we need. Amen. We don't need more correct theology from more theologians. We need Jesus. Let's just let him be who he is. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. This is in Syria. Boy, we've heard a lot of Syria in the news, haven't we? The same Syria. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. So she was a Syrophoenician woman. She begged Jesus to drive out the demon. Drive it out of her daughter. Jesus said in verse 27, "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. I'm sure you've picked up on it by now, but in every chapter, in nearly every pericope from the beginning of Mark to chapter 7 now, we get this realization that Mark is very clear in stressing the point that Jesus just can't get away. He's tried everything. He's tried to sneak away. He's tried to go up on a mountain to pray. He's tried to get away for a little while with his disciples in a garden. But people keep finding him. And that's part of this story this morning. Because the reality is we all live in a whirlwind. We live in a whirlwind of chaos. There are stuff that is going to go wrong in our lives. There is stuff that is going to happen financially, emotionally, relationally. And we all know that it feels like sometimes we're just going to get sucked in to the whirlwind. And perhaps you're there this morning. Perhaps you feel like in your physical, emotional, or spiritual life, you haven't made any progress for the last months or years. You feel like where you've been for the last few weeks, months, or years has been exactly where you were a few weeks, months, or years ago. But oh, you've been busy. We've been avoiding getting hit by the debris in the storm. We've been trying to repair while the wind is blowing against us. We've been trying to create, but in fact, it's impossible to create when it seems like there's so much resistance against the things that we're trying to create. And part of the message here this morning is that Jesus knows what that feels like. And he understands that there is a decision that each of us must make in order to keep our spiritual sanity, our emotional sanity, our mental sanity. We have to start making some decisions in regards to what we're going to do with the chaos in our lives. Can you hear me all the way back? Jesus demonstrated this morning that it was his intent to get away, to steal away to a house where nobody knew where he was. In fact, he even got out of his homeland. It would be like you and me going to a different country where no one knew us and unplugging our cell phones and drawing the shades and turning off the TV and opening our Bibles and say, "Lord, I just want to spend some time with you. Finally." And then, "Pastor, Jason, Bill, are you in there? Bill, I know you're in there. I can see the light on under the door." So we're going to talk this morning about persistence. Mark is intentional about weaving into his account the events that it was really, really impossible for Jesus to get away. People sought out Jesus for healing, bread, sermons, blessings, and I'm sure many just wanted to check him out, just to see what this phenomenon was. But this all did not come without a price for Jesus. He was human. And you see, Jesus got tired. A church in England has recorded a CD in Sussex, England. You're not going to believe this. They recorded 30 minutes of silence. Now, there's a little bit of ambient sound. There's very little footsteps in the background, a little bit of traffic outside, a little bit of horn honking over there. But if you tune in and listen to the CD, all you're really going to hear is nothing. And believe it or not, this CD has become very popular. It's called The Sound of Silence. A Taiwanese reporter reported in his column, he said, it's exactly what it says it is. It's a CD of 30 minutes of absolutely nothing. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the depths that we will go to. And by the way, these are flying off the shelves. It reminds us of the depths that we will go to experience quietness, solitude, silence. By the way, we are wired to experience silence. We're going to check into that in just a few minutes because Jesus lets some silence occur that most of us would step in and try to break. In our text today, solitude matters. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to a region of Tyre. He did not want anyone to know where he was going. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't help it. A lady found him anyway. He was with his disciples. You see, Jesus' time was in high demand. When he was working, so to speak, there was no shortage of opportunities for him to teach, to get into theological repartee with Sadducees and Pharisees. He was busy instructing his disciples. He was busy meeting the needs of people who came to him to do something or heal or to help in some way. Then we just see example after example in the first seven chapters of Mark of Jesus trying to get away, and then the whirlwind happens. And people come, like one day, you remember, they were all going to get away together, and then 5,000 people showed up for dinner. And the disciples said something like, send them away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. Dr. Susan Coven, who practices internal medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital, wrote in a Boston Globe column, she said, in the past few years, I've observed an epidemic of sorts, patient after patient suffering from the same condition. The symptoms of this condition include fatigue, irritability, insomnia, anxiety, headaches, heartburn, bowel disturbances, back pain, and weight gain. There are no blood tests or x-ray diagnosis for this condition. The condition is simply busyness and the accompanying stress. You see, we all need to, number one, acknowledge the whirlwind, and you don't need me to tell you that. Life gets crazy. But number two, and the most important thing is, you and I have to choose which direction we're gonna walk in the storm, in the chaos, in the whirlwind. Because I guarantee you, the whirlwind will take all of your time if you let it. I can't tell you how many guys that I talk to every week that are retired in the barbershop, and they say, I'm busier now than I was when I was working. And that's good. That's a beautiful thing. If it's productive, if it's effective for the kingdom, it's a beautiful thing. But you see, God has more for us than being busy and occupied. And has not planned that you and I be completely occupied by stress and busyness just for the sake of, I've got to keep Ella really busy, because you know, if Ella's not busy, she gets into trouble. No. It's about busyness for the kingdom of God. Amen. It's about when we end this life, the master looks back at our life and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I put you in charge of a few things and you did them well. Not, I put you in the middle of a whirlwind and it just kept you busy all your life. You see, we've got to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's why there's a Sabbath rest every 7 days, every seventh day. Now, being Christian, we don't necessarily observe the Jewish calendar. By the way, yesterday would have been the Sabbath, Saturday. But here's the thing. We are wired to need refilling from God. Rest and refilling from God every week. In fact, if you don't get it, your world will slowly start to yield to the pressure of a whirlwind. And you'll find yourself so busy with your tongue hanging out that you just can't get ahead. Hey, I'm preaching to myself here too, because I like to be busy. And it's hard for me to slow down and spend time with God. I'm going to share an illustration from Tim Keller in a few minutes that really hits where I'm at in a few minutes. Jesus was not immune to the exhausting demands of needy people. And there are people needing you and what you can provide in their lives. But you have to choose where your source of strength is. Serving is good, but you gotta plug into the master and get your strength refilled from him. Otherwise, you're gonna get eventually sucked dry and there won't be anything left for you to give. And I'm preaching to me too, so when I say you, I mean us, we. So how are we doing in this area? You see, if we follow Jesus' example, we'll find a place of solitude where we can rest and read and reflect on the Word of God and spend some time with others for spiritual direction and in prayer. But once again, and this is a whole nother sermon, but once again, Jesus' intention of getting away is once again interrupted, this time by a desperate mother. And this is part two of the message this morning. By the way, just because Jesus' time was interrupted again doesn't invalidate the fact that we need to get away too. Amen? We need to plug in to the Master and get renewed and refilled. But this shows Jesus' heart. It shows the incredible capacity that he had, the reservoir that he had full of the Father's love, that even during a time of I want to get away and expectation is built, he still had time to give out of a deep reservoir, but not without a little bit of banter. Okay? We're going to get into that. This is an interesting sermon message here. He had compassion. In our text, the woman did more than simply turn to Jesus for help. She was in a whirlwind too. Her daughter was desperately sick. And in that time, it's looked at a little different than we would look at it today, probably. In that time, many of the people believed that if you were sick, you were under the oppression of a demon, or perhaps you were even demon-possessed. So it wasn't unusual for a person who had some kind of a sickness to be described as demon-possessed. Now, we're not going to quibble this morning in regards to whether this gal had a demon in her or whether she was sick. And that's a whole nother theological debate. But the fact is, this morning, she was intent in her world that was spinning out of control like a tornado throwing debris everywhere. She was intent and focused on getting to Jesus. And she faced some tremendous obstacles preventing her from getting to him. But she was persistent. Matthew 15, 23. Here's the scenario. And this is where it gets really interesting with Jesus. You've got the situation where Mark is sharing his account of this event, and then you've got Matthew over here sharing his account. And Matthew records that when this woman kept pestering Jesus because she was so intent on cutting through the debris, cutting through the whirlwind, she was so intent that she just showed up apparently pestering Jesus. And Matthew interpreted it as though Jesus just kind of sat there and he didn't say anything. And this woman was met with what feels like Jesus ignoring her. Now, this is where the Jesus you know may not fit Scripture. It may ruffle your theological feathers a little bit. So Matthew records, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. And boy, we've heard that before, haven't we? Send them away. Send her away. Get them out of here because they're in the way of what we're trying to do. For she keeps on crying out after us. By the way, I want to add my welcome to those who are watching online this morning as well. Thank you for joining us and listening to the podcast. Who knows, weeks, months, years later after this date, we're glad that you've chosen to join us. Apparently, Jesus is ignoring her. And it's a little bit like the elephant in the room for the disciples. Can you feel it? Here's this earnest woman with a real need, and Jesus isn't doing anything. I can't fix that. I can't fix the fact that sometimes when we pray, it seems like Jesus just sits there. I can't fix the fact that the church gets engaged and they start to tell Jesus what to do when Jesus doesn't acknowledge our requests. I can't fix the fact that sometimes when we pray, we're like the disciples telling God what to do when we have this need in front of us and someone is in desperate need. I can't fix the fact that Jesus is going to do what he's going to do. But let's just let him be Jesus. Amen? We're going to unpack it a little bit in a couple minutes. But it may not give us the full resolution. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. That'd be overly taxed disciples who need to get away with God. We get a little bit of a short fuse, don't we? And instead of letting silence be golden, We let silence be, oh no, there's something wrong in this picture. And we seek to fix it. And we spend more energy intervening. And Jesus said, you don't have to do it. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Oh no, he did it again. He broke the silence. Sometimes silence is exactly what we need, and experiencing it can be brutal. But how rare it is in our day to experience silence, because as soon as we are intent on doing it, well, somebody's going to like your post on Facebook, and you got to see who it was. So here's where it gets really interesting. Basically, in our first reading, it seems the sweet Jesus we know calls this Gentile woman a dog. I know. What do we do with that? Well, let's unpack it a little bit. Earlier, we noted that the woman was a Gentile born in Syria. Normally, people are marginalized when they don't belong to a particular group, whether it's religion or ethnicity or race or beliefs or they don't smell very good. Sometimes society puts them off to the margins. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus is the foreigner in this case. It would seem like he's the one on the margins, in the margins, outside. But Jesus flips the table, turns the table. And he calls this woman something that we are very uncomfortable with. Gotta be honest. Because when she comes to him and says, would you please heal my daughter? She is demon possessed, has a demon. She's suffering tremendously every day. Jesus says, it's not right. After the disciples said, send her away, Jesus said, it's not right for me to take the bread on the table and toss it to the dogs. Jesus. And then the disciples were probably like, all the air just left the room. What did he just say? And then she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table get the scraps that fall off the table or the crumbs that fall. So what was that about? Well, we know that Jesus was called to disciple a particular people. Who was he called to? First the Jew and then the Gentile. Now, I'm a Gentile. That means I'm not a Jew. And unless you're of Jewish heritage, you are a Gentile. That means that when Jesus fulfilled prophecy thousands of years prior to his birth, as he fulfilled prophecy to be the Messiah of the Jewish people, he was going to fulfill the promise of God that the Jewish people would have a Messiah sent from God to bring the heart of God to the people. Now, here's the thing. Without discipleship, all of us would be lost today. Because what Jesus taught his disciples was that in the chaos, in the storm, in the whirlwind, I've still got a job to do. Can you hear me all the way back? And that job is to disciple 12 guys. And you may have one. They may be your son or daughter, that one. And whether we get a torrent of a flood or a tornado rips through your house, it doesn't change the fact that God says, I need you to make sure that you get this right, that you don't fail on this. And so Jesus is sharing with us the importance of discipleship when he says, I have come to minister to my people so that they can then be a blessing to everyone in the world. It's the promise that God gave to Abraham. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless the entire world. Jews first, and then the Gentiles. And so Jesus is saying, you know, honestly, I have a job to do, and that is to disciple these 12 guys. That means there's some things that we got to say no to in our lives. There's some things that don't fit the call of God in our lives. And just because it's pleasant and good and wonderful to experience, it doesn't mean that it's within God's plan or priorities that we do that and participate in that, because you've got a job to do and so do I. That no matter the chaos going on in our lives, we got to get this right. We got to do this. Now here's another thing that I can't fix, and that is Jesus ministered to her anyway. Now here's what we call repartee. How many of you are familiar with the show The West Wing and the banter that they do back and forth? It's just fascinating, the banter. The writer Aaron Sorkin was just, I think, a brilliant writer in the dialogue, because the whole show is just quick-witted back and forth responses to each other in the White House, and how the staff and chief of staff do business and get the job done. That's called repartee. Jesus is engaging in repartee with this woman. And he says, here's the fact. The fact is, I have a job to do, and you're not on my priority list. Little dig there. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the Gentiles would get a little bit. Huh? And he's like, all right, you've done good. Don't forget, I'm here to minister to the Jews. I love you, but I got to give my kids my priority, time, talent, and treasure. Amen? I got to make sure they make it. Because if they don't make it, I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. I got to make sure my disciples make it. I got to make sure that the ones that God has given me to make sure they make it all the way through, make it. So I've got to say no to some things. And here's this woman. She keeps on pressing in. She keeps on pressing in to Jesus. In spite of the chaos, in spite of the storm, she's pressing in. And here's where persistence pays off. By the way, Jesus used the word puppies instead of mangy dogs. There, in Aramaic, there was a different word for dogs that were street dogs and puppies and house pets, and he used the word, yes, but even, it's not right for me to toss the bread to the dogs or to the household pets or to the puppies. So it was an endearing term. It wasn't a derogatory term. But she took it. And she just kept on pressing in and kept on pressing. A story is lifted from E.M. Bounds' book on prayer. It's a retelling of a friend's experience one morning. Rising really early in the morning, he said, I heard the barking of a number of dogs chasing a deer. Looking at the large open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn making its way across the field and giving signs as though it was about done running its race. It leaped the barrier between the house and the field and came and stood within 10 feet of the man. And then pretty soon the dogs came, leaped the barrier. At the same time, the doe came and pushed its head between this man's legs. And he said he picked up this fawn and he started to spin and fight off the dogs. And he said, I began to feel inside of me that every dog in the world could come and be after this deer, but there wasn't a one of them gonna get her. You see, the deer pressed in to where she knew her help was. I want to encourage us this morning to press in through the chaos, through the chasing, through the storm, through the chaos, through the whirlwind. Press in to where we know our help is from. Amen? You see, that deer appealed to that man's ability to help. And that's a God thing. As we press into Jesus and appeal to Him for help, there is not a power on earth or under the earth or in hell itself that can prevent us from being helped and healed in every area of our life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team to come. I'd like to ask you a question as we receive the message this morning. In the face of our helplessness, what particular situation today would you say, I just need to press into Jesus? I gotta press in. I want to close with the illustration. Tim Keller, who is today known throughout the world as a leadership development guru in the church, he shares that it was in the second half of his adult life that he experienced prayer. He said, I had to. There were dark weeks after 9/11 in New York, where he said it seemed like the whole city sank into a clinical depression. And he said, for my family, the shadow was intensified as my wife, Kathy, struggled with the effects of Crohn's disease. And then he said, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. He said, at one point in all this, my wife urged me to do something with her that I had never been able to muster up the discipline to do regularly. She asked me to pray with her every night. She said, Tim, imagine that you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill every night before going to sleep. Imagine that you could not miss it, and if you missed it, you were going to die. Would you forget? Well, Tim, if we don't pray together to God, we're not going to make it because of all we're facing. I know I'm not. You see, we got to press in. We got to determine what direction we're going to walk through the chaos, through the storm, and through the whirlwind. And we got to press in. We got to press into the Master, because when we press into the Master's going to pick us up. So let's press in. I don't know what situation you're facing particularly this morning, but I know that all of us are going through some sort of storm threat at all times. It may be a flash flood. It may be some kind of drought. By the way, we all hit a wall sometimes. The Boston Marathon, the writer, the Boston Globe said, of the 27 or 45,000 people that are going to be running in this race, about 25,000 of them are going to hit a wall about 5 miles before the finish line. And it's going to feel like an elephant jumped on their back. and they're just going to be convinced that they can't make it because it's too hard. And that's exactly where the devil wants us. It's too hard. I can't do it. And it happens physically, but it happens spiritually as well. You may be at the same spot that you've been for years, but today you've hit a wall. And you're saying, you know, I could deal with the chaos until now, but the fact is I can't deal with it anymore. I've hit a wall. I'm going down. And if I don't press towards something, I'm going to fall. And I just want to encourage you on the authority of God's word to press into Jesus. Because that's where our hope is. He is our life. And that's where we're free, is in His arms. Dear woman, your faith is great, Jesus said. Your woman, your child has been healed. So, how will we end our lives? Being known for surviving the chaos or making a difference? There's a tombstone that reads in Torch Lake, Michigan, hit by a car walking between taverns on New Year's Eve, 1948. He tried to survive the storm, but he didn't make it, okay? Here's a famous marker in Ribbonsford, England that reads, "The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna." In a cemetery in Pennsylvania, a marker reads, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake." I would like to think that the epitaph of the Gentile woman in our text would read something like, "Her faith was persistent and great." Ours is yet to be written. But may it be something like, "He brought everything to God in prayer. And once she turned to God, she never turned away. And he placed his faith solely on God's grace." Or he just pressed into Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we press in to you this morning, thankful that you are our source of living water, our source of living bread, our source of life. Lord, thank you for reminding us today that life will take all of our time if we let it. Busyness will require everything of us. Therefore, life requires that we make a choice in regards to what our priorities are going to be. And Jesus, we press into you for this situation, for this financial need, for this relationship hardship, for this physical need, for this diagnosis. Lord, we press into you. Thank you for your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're willing and able, will you stand one more time as we sing to close the service? Christ is my
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes a sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. God bless you guys in your week. You are dismissed.